I'm Todd Gleason, coming to you live today from the Chicago Board of Trade. Agricultural information, of course, made possible with support from ADM, using corn and oil seeds to create biofuels, agricultural's answer to diminishing fossil fuels. ADM, resourceful by nature. Welcome again to the Market Report. It is November the 7th. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Our thanks, by the way, to WILL alum Craig Grabner of the CBOT and our own Dave Dickey for their assistance today and yesterday for the programming. A bit later in this program, we'll talk with Gordon Lynn. He's the president of the Lynn Group. The closing market report made possible by AgriGold. Funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialist, on the web at agrigold.com. Taking a look at the numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade as they settled on this Tuesday afternoon, December wheat at 497, off a penny today. The March contract at 519, that finished up a quarter. December corn futures 351, they were 7.5 cents higher. A lot of new contract highs made on the floor today. March contract at 366 3/4, up 8 1/4. And the May corn at 372 3/4, they were 7 cents higher. December futures at 356 3/4, up 3 for the day. November soybeans at 654 3/4, 5.5 cents higher. January futures up 4.5 at 667 1/4. And the March contract at 678.5, they were up 4 cents. November beans at $7.5 for next year, a penny higher. December bean meal futures at 197.40, they were up 90 cents for the day. December bean oil at 27.67, 13 higher. Over at the Mercantile Exchange, November feeder cattle 99.62.5, off 72.5 cents. The December live cattle at $85.30 even, down 25 for the day. February live cattle at 88.92.5, and they were off 7.5 cents. December lean hog futures $64.62.5, and they finished the day a dime higher. Joining us now to take a look at what happened to the Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange, as he does every Tuesday afternoon, is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Boy, good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, it's been a great couple of days up here at the Chicago Board of Trade, and we've had a lot of fun. They let us out on the floor this morning. Well, not all the way on the floor. The press never get to go all the way out in the middle of the pits, but we had the opportunity to visit the floor. I've been here before. It's always exciting to see how open outcry works, and I sure hope the Chicago Board of Trade keeps it up. And today, they made new contract highs in the corn pit, didn't they?
Yeah, they did, Todd. And we sure hope they keep the open outcry open, too, because we saw real aberration today caused by the electronic trade, where they went in and plopped a couple thousand contracts of D's corn down, knowing there weren't sellers above the market, and then jumped that D's corn. When we were experiencing slow, choppy pre-report trade, and they took things, run stops, and really pushed this market with that electronic trade.
Tell me a little bit more about that. Who did it?
It was UBS, I believe, was in there, and ABM Ambro was the ones that each went in and bought 1,000 D's corn apiece, and started things up and around and took us out of the doldrum trade into some active trade, because it run 5 cents before they could fill it over there. It was sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy that happened that way. But, you know, before the day was over, you saw a lot of fireworks, a lot of people that jumped on in after that, a lot more buyers that happened once they run through some of the points. And we did see quite a bit of volume and a real upticks on the Board of Trade.
You know, I don't have access to the highs for the day. What was the D's corn high?
D's corn, 52.5, closed at 51.
And so that's not a contract high. I think it went to 53.25. What are the new contract highs then?
I haven't got those in front of me, Todd.
Okay, well, Dave Dickey's there in the studio. Maybe he can join the conversation and tell us where those contract highs were made. I don't think
yes,
that's
December. Yes, I can. Okay. New contract highs in the March, May, July contracts of September of 2007, tying its contract high, and then new contract highs again in December, March, and May.
Thanks much, Dave. We appreciate your help there. Dave Dickey, of course, operating the board back at the radio station while I'm here in Chicago at a different board, the Board of Trade. So let's take this all into context just a bit. When you get an aberration in the marketplace, and this has happened before, not particularly with electronic trade, but it does happen from time to time, Does the market dismiss the contract highs that are made, or do they simply go into the charts and they get used on a regular basis then?
Well, I think, number one, they're going to go into the charts for sure, Todd. And we closed up at these levels, and these happened an hour before the close happened. So it's not like the aberrations didn't hold once we got closer to the situation. So these are not near as unreliable as some of those that just happen on the close with a spike up, or like the time that the wheat, you know, went over a dollar higher in the last 10 seconds of trade when it was going off the board and like that. So this would be much more reliable as such going that way. But, you know, we sort of put an asterisk by that one wheat trade. But other than that, why we look at these as far as points to use.
The October, the November crop production report is due out this Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. The current USDA production is at 10.9. The average trade guess at 10.838 for the corn. You think they're pretty much on the mark, or will USDA surprise them?
I think that'll be pretty close to what we're looking at. I know that, you know, Informa was a 10.7, you know, a little lower than that. I think that the government's going to be a little bit more conservative and be closer to that 10.8 number, Dave.
And I think the carryout stocks, it's Todd.
We had Dave helping us out here.
That's okay. It doesn't matter. I just thought it was funny. When we take a look at the ending stocks number then, average trade guess at a 9.1, and the USDA estimate in October was a 9.66. How much lower would it have to go in order to make the market really move?
I'll tell you what, anything down here in staying, you know, if we go even a little bit below that, I know that there are some guesstimates down as low as 776. It would only take something under 900 to keep the market rally going, because we have a lot of people that feel anything under a billion bushels is basically we have to ration, because with all the ethanol plants, different places, the pipeline gets bigger. And it takes more pipeline to be filled than what it has in the past. So, you know, I think anything that's staying here under, you know, around the 900 to even less, anything under the billion bushels is going to keep this market hot.
Harvest, let's talk a little bit about harvest. USDA, of course, releasing its weekly crop progress reports yesterday. Of the 18 states in the Midwest, they say 81% of the corn is now harvested. Five-year average at 82%. Last year at 88%. Indiana running at 64%. Their five-year average is at 79, and they're way behind last year at 88. Is corn still standing around New Market, Indiana?
There's some corn still standing, Todd, and I'll tell you, you know, east of here, there's even more corn standing. You know, rained again last night and this morning, and the ground is very soft, and it's going to be questionable if we can go here tomorrow or not, let alone today. But, you know, we 4 or 5 days, and a lot of this corn will be all gone.
Taking a look at the numbers from those crop weekly crop updates. For the soybeans, 90% of the beans around the nation now harvested. That not much of a surprise there. Of course, the five-year average at 91%, and last year at 95%. If you were a willing seller of corn or beans at this time, willing or unwilling, depending on whether you needed cash or not, which would you decide to sell?
Which would I decide to sell? You know, probably the one that I don't already have stuck in the bin. If I'm done with my bean harvest and I'm going to the corn and I'd have to have commercial storage, I'm probably going to be selling corn. If I've still got some beans out there that I can, you know, whichever way along the as we look at things. The beans are actually higher compared to any fundamental reasoning we can have, but we know they're following corn for the corn bean ratio, trying to keep the acreage together. But beans are the ones that seem to be overpriced for their fundamental status. And looking at the production we're looking at coming up Thursday morning, we don't have a shortage of beans for right now.
Anything of great note take place at the Mercantile Exchange today?
Not a lot over there. I think that, you know, we come back up with 87 bid a few traded in Kansas on the cattle. The beef cutouts were mixed at noon. And basically, if you looked, that's what it was, sort of mixed on the board there today. So not much happening there. Hogs come off their lows. A lot of talk about hog numbers being cut back with these real high corn prices. So we don't look for hogs to fall out of bed.
Wayne, we appreciate you being with us.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Wayne joins us every Tuesday afternoon on the Closing Market Report and Tuesday morning on the Opening Market Report when, of course, he talks to our own Dave Dickey, the Director of Agricultural Programming at the WILO radio stations. The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety is a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, and it's proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILO. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606. Taking a look at the weather forecast from our own Ked Kieser. He says this afternoon in northwestern and west central Illinois, a mix of clouds, some sunshine. Elsewhere in northern and central Illinois, mostly cloudy. In Indiana and southern Illinois, cloudy, a few scattered showers and patches of drizzle. Highs ranging today from 53 in east central Indiana to 63 in west central Illinois. Tonight, Ed says, in eastern and southern Indiana, cloudy, scattered light showers, some drizzle before midnight, fog and patchy drizzle after midnight. Elsewhere, mostly cloudy with some patchy, dense fog forming. Lows will range this evening from 43 to 49. Tomorrow, some patchy fog early. Otherwise, partly sunny. Highs will range tomorrow from 62 in eastern Indiana to 72 in west central Illinois. At the bottom of the hour, just after the bottom of the hour, in fact, we'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. We'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast for the Midwest and around the globe. Joining us now from the Chicago Board of Trade is Gordon Lynn. He's the president of the Lynn Group. He's an Iowa native, spent his early years on a grain and cattle farm in central Iowa. After college, he launched a career in grain merchandising with Cargill in Minneapolis, and then he moved on to the Chicago area where he became a member of the Chicago Board of Trade. Gordon Lynn, thank you for joining us from the Chicago Board of Trade building today.
Todd, great to be here.
I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the things you've done over your career. You've been very active in the Chicago Board of Trade. You've been on a lot of committees, and some of those committees were pretty active in the electronic area. You probably heard through the headphones about the aberration in the electronic trade today, and I don't want to ask you about that in particular, but I want to ask you how the Board of Trade views electronic trade, how you view it in conjunction with your company, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later, too.
I was technology chairman here when, back in the 90s, the E-mini was started as a response to the Dow, and, of course, that was the kickoff of major electronic trading here in Chicago, and, of course, led to a resurgence of the market to where we're at today, which is the new CME-CBOT merger. We were positive all through that area as to what electronic trading could do for our markets, the expansion of volume that could come. And I think in the first 90 days of electronic trading here at the Chicago Board of Trade during the day session, we just have to be very encouraged by that response. Many of us who grew up in open outcry do not want to see open outcry go away. The color, the excitement downstairs, the free and open market where you can see what people are doing is just something to be sacred almost in my mind and in the market's mind, and I think that we will find each has its place. Right now, today, the electronic market was very much a leader at times. Of course, the value of open outcry is still here on the openings and the closing where people want to have the big numbers executed and executed quickly. We'll see how that works over time. We still have a problem with options throughout the electronic markets where the volume of data and the kind of power that's necessary to put options, trading and commodities onto these platforms is very challenging. Will we get it done? Well, even in bonds, which have been predominantly electronic for several years, we don't have it done yet. So it's a major challenge, and I think open outcry and electronics will be side by side 10 years from now, but I'm probably in the minority. We'll see.
Tell me a little bit about your group and some of the kinds of things, and I visited the Lynn Group's website last night, and it appears to me that one of the things that you wanted to do with that organization in conjunction with the Chicago Board of Trade was to try to make the numbers more accessible and usable by individuals as opposed to brokers, and so that they could get to the numbers. Brokers could too, but that they could get to the numbers and they could actually trade directly online through the Lynn Group if they wanted to.
Yes, I think as we look back over the last 15 years and we look at the satellite data from the space program where we had the digitized satellite abilities in the marketplace. What a change that was. But, of course, the biggest change in my lifetime has been the evolving of the Internet, and I think most people's lifetime. And the Internet has closed the gap between traders and various market segments. I listened to Wayne at L&M here a moment ago. What a tremendous response he gave you to his questions. A very knowledgeable guy, obviously on top of the markets. Kind of a pleasure to listen to him because, as you know, we in the commodities world are sometimes maligned as people who don't have the customer's best interests in mind. And one of the things I have tried to do in my career is assure the farmer and the customer that of how pure the markets really are. The open outcry couldn't be any more pure as you stand across the pit from somebody and hand signal and shout and make a trade right in front of everybody. And although you may not like the fill, we don't really like the bid and ask on electronics either, as we see Kansas City today, a penny and a half, 2 cents between bid and ask. We'd like that to be zero, nothing. And my attitude is that this gap will continue to narrow between all participants. The information flow that the Internet allows is incredible. So we want to be a part of that, and we have what we call a Lynn Group platform, which is a very hot, quote, graphic information piece that we utilize for big customers. And then we have a free, I think, very respectable graphical product for farmers and customers where they can get really the same information at the same time almost. So the information flow across the marketplace is going to increase. As the farmer, percentages of farmers who get the Internet grows and grows and grows, we're all going to know everything that's happening within minutes and seconds, and I think that's great in a marketplace that's going to evolve into higher and higher volumes, more and more users, and become even more important to the world's economies than it has been in the last 10 years.
I noticed on the Lynn Group site that you can actually paper trade there. And is that very popular? Can you track that? And are you able? And I suppose from your point of view, you want to take those paper traders and get them to actually trade. But do a lot of people use it?
I think people are afraid of making those electronic trades that they might hit 1,000 for one lot or something like that. So I think it gives them confidence. In fact, our new systems are what we call idiot-proof, where you click on the last price and it kind of fills in the blanks for you almost, and you need to maybe change the price a little or change the quantity. But those fears will go away over time. My sons are in the business. The Lynn Group has been here at the Board of Trade for almost 30 years and survived the blight markets, the Russian markets, the Chernobyl markets, the crash. When we think about what we've been through, and each more traumatic than the next, and many times those markets have caused consolidation. And we're proud that we're here. And I have three sons now in the business, and they're all a great deal more technology proficient than Dad, as are most 30-year-old people, and as the decision makers and the traders who have grown up with computers do the trading. We're going to make one more giant leap into to where really everybody is trading on a computer in some fashion during the day, not just 20%.
Gordon, we appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you, Todd.
Gordon Lynn is the president of the Lynn Group, joining us here from the Chicago Board of Trade. Once again, our thanks to the folks at the Board of Trade, especially Craig Grabner, who has helped us out, and Dave Dickey, who is back in the studio running the board, making sure that we get on the air. Agricultural programming on WILL, made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers. Our thanks, of course, to Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Fred Seaman, Senior Economist and Business Development Director here at the Chicago Board of Trade, now setting in to join us for a little bit of a discussion. And Fred, thank you first for joining us. I hear that you are part of the deal behind the new ethanol swap contracts, and I want you to tell me what that is to begin with. Try to explain that, and we can go from that point forward.
Okay, well, the ethanol market has been certainly a large growth industry that we've seen, particularly over the last 5 years or so. And how ethanol is traded has changed dramatically in that time. It used to be that ethanol, for the most part, was predominantly contracted 2 times per year on 6-month contracts. And that's still certainly probably the most common way to market ethanol. But with the advent of our ethanol futures contract, we've started to see the advent of different marketing protocols for ethanol. And one of those that has evolved and evolved along the lines of how we see energy products traded is over-the-counter calendar swaps. So we've designed an ethanol OTC clearing product that can be used for counterparties that are entering into these over-the-counter swaps so that they can come to the exchange and have those swaps cleared and eliminate their counterparty risk.
Okay, you're going to have to go back and give me a little more layman's terms so that I and the audience can make sure we understand this. We know that with the boom in the ethanol industry that there have been, there is and continues to be, and I'm not sure that this actually fills this need, that there is a need for a risk mitigation way or program for the ethanol industry itself, for not the end user, but for the producer of ethanol. And is that what this does?
It pretty much is. Ultimately, the ethanol producer wants to produce his ethanol and sell a certain amount per month. And to get rid of the risk, he would love the fact if he could get one particular price for that ethanol and know that I'm going to get X amount for my ethanol and I'm going to produce this much each month and get that amount for it. And on the other side of the fence, you have a blender or an oil company that wants to buy ethanol, and they would love to be able to buy a certain amount of ethanol and pay a fixed price for it. And these swaps are basically a way for an ethanol producer and an oil company, let's say, that's blending ethanol, to come together and mutually agree upon a price that's going to be paid for the ethanol, a certain amount each month for some given amount of time. And that reduces their risk. I know I'm producing this much ethanol and I'm getting this price for it, and the oil company says, hey, I know I'm buying this much ethanol and I know how much I'm paying for it. And what the exchange is going to do is just to help facilitate that trade.
When will these contracts begin to trade? It was announced today. Do you have an idea on which day that they'll start trading?
December 4th.
All right. Thank you very much, Fred. We appreciate much your comments on that ethanol contract. What else do you do for the Board of Trade?
I work in business development, so I'm one of the agricultural economists here at the Board of Trade. So I work on all of the agricultural commodities, including ethanol. So it's been a really good time to be a member of that group here at the Board of Trade. Lots of change.
Is your job to follow the fundamentals of supply and demand for the products, or do you do something else?
No, not so much that. Working for the exchange, we're not actually allowed to give advice or anything like that. So my job is actually a lot of fun. I design new futures products, so wherever we see a need, where there may be price risk management that's not being served by a market, that's where we step up to the plate. Ethanol is an example of that, and I'm working on some other things. So that's one thing that we do. Another thing we do that probably sounds boring to your listeners, but it's actually a lot of fun, is we conduct maintenance on existing contracts. And what that is underneath all futures contracts is a cash market, and those cash markets are always evolving and changing. And we have to monitor those cash markets so that we can keep the futures market current with the cash market. Because if we don't, either the buyer or the seller of futures is going to have some advantage. So our job is basically to keep futures contracts fair. And it's interesting, a lot of what we do is talk to buyers and sellers of our contracts, our customers, and they tend to want to have it tweaked so they get just a little bit of advantage. So our job is to basically listen to everyone, but ultimately keep everything fair so that no one has an unfair advantage. So generally that means that the best futures contracts is a futures contract that no one is completely happy with.
Sounds like doing news. If nobody's completely happy with you, you've done your job. We're out of time. What might be a tweak that you would do on a contract to make it track the cash better?
One thing we did last year this time with wheat is we lowered the amount of vomitoxin that was allowed in deliverable wheat. As the testing procedures get a little bit better for vomitoxin, the amount that is allowed into different uses has changed, and we had to change our requirements on the futures contract. So what is delivered is something that is also negotiable in the cash market.
Fred, we appreciate you being with us. Thanks much. We appreciate it a lot. Fred Seaman is the senior economist and business development person here at the Chicago Board of Trade. I'm Todd Gleason. Our thanks to Craig Grabner and to Dave Dickey for helping out with the program. And in 2 minutes, we'll talk with Don Day about the agricultural weather.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. The election day turnout appears brisk in Champaign-Urbana. Polling places in some precincts had lines this morning. Voting was slower on the University of Illinois campus. One poll watcher there said a handful of students were turned away for not having the proper credentials to prove their residency, but returned later with the right documentation. The polls are open until 7 p.m. in Illinois, but in Cook County, at least two suburban precincts will stay open for an extra hour tonight, because they opened late. The Cook County Clerk's Office asked a circuit court judge to extend voting hours in the two precincts until 8 p.m. In Indiana, the polls are open until 6 o'clock local time, except in Delaware County. Voting was extended to 8:40 there because of an early delay with a computer software problem. The programming error has been fixed. There have not been any reported problems with Indiana's new voter ID requirement, although Democratic Congresswoman Julia Carson wasn't taking any chances. She was delayed from voting in the primary because her congressional ID card didn't have an expiration date. This morning, she brought three pieces of identification. You can hear all the latest results from today's election here on AM 580 from the AM 580 Newsroom, Illinois Public Radio and NPR, beginning at 7 p.m. Central Time. Arlington Heights is the latest Illinois town to pass a smoking ban. The village board voted last night to approve a ban for the Chicago suburb, excluding the Arlington Park racetrack. Starting January 2nd, smoking will be banned in most enclosed Arlington Heights public places. That includes restaurants. Demolition work is underway at a former electrical components factory in Bloomington, Indiana. It's part of an effort to clean up cancer-causing chemicals at the site. Westinghouse used PCBs in the manufacture of electrical capacitors at the plant until the 1970s. The factory closed in 2000. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture, coming to you today from the Chicago Board of Trade building at the corner of LaSalle and Jackson in the Windy City. You're listening to the Closing Market Report, and we're joined now by Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, on this Tuesday afternoon to see whether the skies will get clear and sunny sometime in the future. Hi, Don.
That is correct, and we're going to warm up as well. We've got some very mild air that's going to be coming out of the Plain States, and we're looking at upper 60s and even pushing 70 degrees here by Thursday and Friday.
And then if we get further out into the weekend, how do things fare?
Well, a weekend usually means the weather's going to change, and that's exactly what's going to happen. We're going to see a quick-moving system bring a chance of showers and thunderstorms and cooler weather. I wouldn't call it cold, but cooler weather coming in for the weekend. A little bit wet, especially as we get into late Friday and Saturday, but it's going to be a very fast-moving system. It'll be part of the storminess that is right now hammering the Pacific Northwest.
So we end up with 3-4 good days, and the weather will be cool but not particularly wet, so farmers will continue to be able to harvest. They might be able to get things finished up in the northern part of the state of Illinois. I made note on my way to Chicago from Champaign, there's a lot more corn on the ground in still standing in the fields as you go past Kankakee and to the north. And I know that to the east in Indiana and Ohio, they've got a lot of crop to come out of the field still. Will they be able to pull that out next week as well?
Well, there's going to be some more weather next week. Hopefully folks can take advantage of this little break coming. I do see another little break early in the week, but there is another system, especially around Tuesday or Wednesday, that could bring some colder and wet weather our way. So hopefully folks can take advantage of the next few days, because it may be tougher sledding in terms of harvest progress next week.
We updated the Chinese weather yesterday, so let's hit South America this afternoon, please.
Well, it's looking a little drier down there, especially for Argentina. While showers are going to be found over many portions of Brazil, especially in the short term, long-term forecast is for drier weather. Temperatures down south, a little bit on the cool side. Temperatures expected to be below normal over many areas of South America, at least for the next week or so.
Thank you much, Don. We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Tuesday afternoon. And that is today's report. Thanks much again to Craig Grabner and Dave Dickey for all of their assistance over the past 2 days as we came to you live from the Chicago Board of Trade.